hit well in situations like this, and Maurer comes through, and he'll put the Twins up 1-0. One area statistically they have excelled in is hitting with men in scoring position, and Maurer delivers a first inning hit here to make it 1-0.
Then the Minnesota Twins staff,
the Plouffe, they'll come home. Herman with a block, got him. No chance to get two. Plouffe alertly comes home to get the out. It's hit to right center field. Bernier has his first hit. He's going to run to the gap. It's going to score two. Doug Bernier with a double. And the Twins now trail 11-3.
Yeah, that's where it ended up. But you know what? They lost, yeah, but they're four games above 500 because they took the first two games of that series. That's not too shabby, right? Your club?
It's always good to take a series.
Never a bad thing. And that's not a bad team either. That Tampa Bay team. Put it this way, it's not having the problems the Marlins are having. Did you see that?
Yeah, they're
fired
really
Mike Redmond, and they hired the GM, which is, no one can, it's like unprecedented. So for a GM who's never managed and never ran a team, the last team he managed, although then in high school they called it coach. He coached the high school team.
In like 1985.
Yeah, in the 80s. That was his managerial experience. It's Jeff Loria. What a silly man.
It's a good thing they snatched him up and made him manager because I'm sure he was on a lot of team short lists.
Probably would have gotten a call otherwise.
All that experience.
I'm thinking that Redmond will probably wind up with a job. It was a weird, overall though, it's a weird day for coaches / manager hires.
Mm-hmm.
What the Flyers did, hiring the North Dakota coach. You saw that, right? Of course you did.
Hextall?
Yeah, Hextall. Well, actually, the interesting thing about it is Ron Hextall is the Flyers GM. He hired Dave Hextall, the North Dakota coach. The only thing about it, Hextall has been a hell of a coach in North Dakota. I mean, he's taken him to the NCAAs every year that he's been there. A good college coach, certainly. But of all the cities to go to, this is the toughest place for a coach of any sport to go to.
Yeah, we know how impatient those fans are.
Oh, they'll just savage him. If they fall behind in his first game, they'll be all over him.
Yep.
It's not a good situation or a good place to go. You know, if it turned out, you know, let's say these guys were looking for a man or for a new coach and they hired Dave Hextall, that would be probably met with quite a bit of excitement by Wild fans because they know the guy. You know, from having watched him coach at North Dakota and what he's done against the Gophers and what he's done with North Dakota. But in Philadelphia, I could just imagine the reaction there. They hired him. What?
You can get fired just as quickly as you get hired in Philly.
Oh, yeah. And we have this later for one of our D-bag of the day candidates. There's a home run ball, right? This little old lady with her glove tries to get it. She misses the glove, and it falls in front. It's like it's in the the outfield, and there's a rail, and then there's like a little area, like a area where you have, it almost looks like just a little alleyway they have in front of it. She goes to bend over to grab it. This guy looked like about 6'5". She's diminutive. She's tiny. He shoves her out of the way and grabs the ball.
Good for him.
Good for him. But that's a typical Philadelphia fan. They boot Santa Claus.
Well, he probably had it coming. They probably didn't get the presents they wanted, so they had to boo him.
Well, they were very upset with him, and that was, before an Eagles game years ago. But they are as tough of fans as you'll find anywhere.
I know the NBA All-Star game, they booed whoever was singing the opening or the halftime show. I think it was Mariah Carey or something like that because she was wearing a Kobe Bryant jersey. She was wearing it because he's from Philly.
That wasn't because his dad was Jellybean Bryant, but that doesn't mean anything to them.
No,
he's the enemy.
Yeah,
and I have covered. Obviously, I've covered a number of games in Philadelphia. When I worked in New Jersey, I covered the Giants, and they would go there every year. And the Vikings have certainly played in Philadelphia. If you are a fan for the opposing team, and it's not like at other stadiums, and it's sort of like the way it was at the Metrodome, and the way it will be. Here at the new stadium, there's not like one surface parking lot for the team. Like Giant Stadium, it was one big lot around the stadium. You have to park elsewhere and then get to the stadium. There are some parking lots, but they're not right up against the stadium. You wear a jersey for the opposing team in Philadelphia, it's like running a gauntlet. I mean, these people are picking fights with you and throwing things at you.
Mm-hmm.
If they've eaten down enough of their hot dog or enough of what they were, you know, because they're all barbecuing and grilling, having the great cookouts, and for tailgating, they just throw it at you. They throw cans at you.
Yeah,
it's a bad place to go if you're a fan from another team.
I actually have a friend that was from Philadelphia, and he takes his teams very seriously. It was fun to argue with him about the Phillies.
Oh, so he's one of those guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess we shouldn't be too surprised, that friend of yours, huh? I get it. Now, big news in basketball. How about the Rockets? Remember what I said about McHale? I like the guy.
Mm-hmm.
They were down 3-1.
Yeah.
Come back, and now they're playing the Western Conference Finals, knock off the Clips. And you know what's interesting about James Harden's been terrific for them.
Mm-hmm.
He's got one of the greatest all-time beards I've ever seen.
Yep.
Have you
definitely.
Seen that thing?
Yeah.
It actually looks like it's a fake one that he just put on.
I don't know
it's
why
so
he
good.
Would ever consider trimming it or shaving. Just let it go.
Oh, just
man.
Let it keep going until it's down to his knees.
I'm a big fan of Blaine Bowyer's beard for the Twins as well. It's the fiery red.
But you gotta go with the fiery red. But the Harden one, I was watching just because he did a lengthy news conference or an interview thing. It's just amazing looking at that. That thing is, it's impressive,
mm-hmm,
to say
definitely.
The least. As impressive as his game. If you socked him in the chin, he'd never feel it.
Nope. Because
it's so cushioned. You know, so you can't really, he's not going to get hurt if you try to take a swing at him. Maybe that's why he has it.
It's a very convincing win for them, too. Clippers just didn't look like they had a shot.
No, they basically seemed to pack it in.
That crowd was insane as well, pretty much the entire game.
And now they go against the Warriors, who, by the way, have been right now in, you know, the odds makers have put them as the favorite to win the NBA title above. It's them, then Cleveland, then Atlanta, and then the Rockets. Beck, going to those Rockets.
I would have figured Atlanta would be at the bottom of that list.
No, because I mean, they had a hell of a regular season.
Yeah, they did.
You know, so maybe they're getting some credit for that. But Houston, I mean, you could come down back from 3-1. I guess maybe what you could think is they're done. They've spent themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But they're on a bit of a, you know, a momentum ride right now.
Well, they better learn how to defend those 62-foot.
Yeah, that's going to be a problem.
Three-pointers, yeah. Curry, if he starts hitting those, it's over.
Well, maybe Harden will get there and put his beard up in the air and block it.
He's going to hit a 63-footer with his beard.
Yeah. And then, you know, Tom Reed's going to be joining us in a little bit. We'll talk to him about the Haxtell hiring and the Anaheim Ducks. They just took it to Chicago.
Yeah, they did.
I know a lot of people think that Anaheim will win that. I just didn't see. I mean, it's one game, but they couldn't get anything going offensively.
That's going to be really tough for them to get something done in Anaheim.
But keep it closer.
They can try.
You would, but wouldn't you think it would wind up being a little closer than that?
I mean, you would think so when you have a Jonathan Toews and Patty Kane, and they have a great defense with Jalmerson, Duncan Keith, no more Nick Leddy, which probably hurts him quite a bit because he was really good. But when you look at that top line of Anaheim, they're so tough to stop. They're big, fast, physical.
Absolutely.
How do you stop that?
Well, you're fast and you're fast.
Yep.
And you're physical, a little physical too, Chicago. I mean,
sometimes.
That is a hell of a team, though. So it did surprise me a little bit to be that. And again, it's the first game. They could wind up going 7, though. After one game, you wonder, my God, could they just make this a quick one?
Crawford's not going to be able to do what he did to the Wild.
No, that was obvious. And that's not a good thing for them. Hey, by the way, 651-989-9105, 651-989-9105. We have tickets to the Mopar. It's a great car event. All you have to do, it's simple, is give us a call, let us know you want them, and we've got, I'm going to give you the results of the all-rookie team. Bless you. You okay?
Yeah, I made it.
Catching, all right. Andrew Wiggins, named to the first team. Zach LaVine, named to the second team. I'll give you the numbers in a second, but all you have to do if you call 651-989-9105, great auto show coming up. If you, I'll give you names of some former rookies with the Wolves, and tell me if they were first or second team. I'll do that with you, too, you know, because I'm curious what you think or what you know. Have you seen them?
No, I haven't.
Okay, good. By the way, Wiggins, was the only unanimous choice on the all-rookie team. Received 130 first-team votes. He didn't have an LA year. Led rookies in scoring 16.9 points, fourth in steals, fifth in rebounds. Only rookie and only one of just 11 players to start all 82 games this season. Now, how about this? This one actually surprised me, and it brings back another guy we just mentioned. He finished with a Wolves rookie record, 2,969 minutes played. You know, the only guy in the NBA with more minutes played than him was James Harden with 2,981. So he had 12 minutes more, and he would have been tied with Harden for the most minutes played.
That's very impressive for a young kid that's probably never played more than about 40 games in a season.
Absolutely it is. You know, and it didn't start out that way either. I mean, he wasn't getting the huge minutes early.
No.
So that's very impressive. Well, maybe it's impressive, or maybe they just spent it. But you know what? You're right. He's young. He should be able to handle that type of activity.
And the Wolves needed somebody to step up and eat some minutes, because when Rubio, Martin, and Peck all went down the same week, you're looking around at the team saying, all right, who's going to be able to be out there?
Well, and that's where Levine, you know, was able to get a lot of minutes, too, and get himself on that second team. All right, let me throw some names at you, and you tell me, first or second team. All right, we'll go with the biggest name in team. Kevin Garnett, first or second team?
I would say second team.
Why?
Because it was a very impressive draft year. I know Joe Smith went number one, Antonio McDyess, yeah. Jerry Stackhouse, Rasheed Wallace, and Garnett was the fifth pick, and then you still had Bryant Reeves and Damon Stoudemire taken in that same draft.
All right, how about Kevin Love?
He was first team. Let's go for first team.
He was second. Christian Laettner.
You can put him first team, too.
You'd be right there. Pooh Richardson.
Oh, I loved Pooh. It's fun to say, too.
You love Pooh?
Yeah.
Okay,
first
great.
First team.
Very good. All right. How about Isaiah Ryder?
Let's just random guess second team, even though I think just can't keep guessing first team.
You would have been right if you said first team. Stephon Marbury.
Oh, he's first team all the way.
Good point. All right. Derek Williams.
Second.
Very nice. Wally Szczerbiak.
First.
You've only gotten, what, two or three wrong? You haven't got many wrong here.
I'm good at this.
Craig Smith.
Not at all.
No, he was second team. Johnny Flynn.
Oh, he's not at all either. Second team.
No, he was second team. Randy Foy.
I think Foy had a decent year, but I know Brandon Roy had a better year. I don't know why we traded.
That was
made that trade. That was dumb, even though Brandon Roy didn't spend a long time in the NBA because his knees didn't hold up. Still would have rather had Roy, but Foy, let's just say first team for him, too.
Was Foy the guy with the heart on the wrong side of his chest? Was that him or was it somebody else?
I don't know.
You know what I'm talking about? It's called like, there is a name for it. Let me see if it is him. If it's not him, I'll come up with who it was. Yeah, it was him, as a matter of fact. It's situs inversus. So his heart is actually on the right side of his chest. It's a rare condition, but
cool.
It's cool.
That's all about style.
Well, what I wonder is, though, when he gets indigestion, does he get heartburn on that side or the other side?
That's a good question.
We'll have to find out.
We'll call him up.
We will have to track down Randy Foy and ask him. Meantime, we're going to take a quick break. When we return, we'll be joined by Tom Reed from the Wild Broadcast Team, and of course, Tom Reed's Hockey City Pub. Be right back with Tom Reed. We are back. Oh, look at you.
It's your Monday surprise.
Well, that is a surprise.
Oh, what a night.
I can't make him wait any longer, but keep it playing in the background. We are joined by Tom Reed from the Wild Broadcast Team and Tom Reed's Hockey City Pub. Tom, I've been bugging him to play some Frankie Valli for me for months, and he finally did. So I don't want to leave you on hold while we listen to it.
Well, you know what? One of my favorite artists was not Frankie Valli, but that's okay. We'll listen to that one.
Well, who was your favorite artist? I'll make him play it next time we have you on.
You know, I think it's Jim Cornelison, the guy who sings the National Anthem in Chicago. He's probably my favorite artist.
Jim Cornelius.
I'm only kidding.
I was going to say, my God, I don't know if we can find that one.
He does an national anthem down there in Chicago.
You should see the look that David Helms that he just gave me. Hellman, my Hellboy just gave me. Helmsy. Wow. Hey, Tom, I wanted to talk to you today because beyond what happened with Chicago and Anaheim, this thing in Philadelphia, four coaches in a row are fired after, you know, the, despite having winning records, of all the teams to go to for Dave Hextall from North Dakota, this is like the worst city to go to for a college coach. They're going to be incredibly demanding. Those fans are as tough as any fans anywhere.
Well, they are, but you know what? If you're successful, I mean, that goes away in a hurry. And we see so often that they bring in former players who they were maybe have been very good players but aren't very good coaches. And that just happens. That's just the nature of the beast. But, you know, I give Dave a lot of credit. I mean, here's a guy who's been very successful in the college ranks. And what we're finding now also, Bob, is that more and more of the coaches are being hired. Are coming. They're lesser known people. They're not experienced coaches in the NHL, and you don't have to have that. Look at Mike Yeo. Mike Yeo, I mean, someone has to give them a start someplace. Scotty Bowman has to start someplace, you know, as a rookie coach. And it's very tough going in to be a rookie coach in the National Hockey League. But Dave's had some pretty good success. There's a history between those two guys also because of the fact that, you know, that Dave also was the coach when Hextall's son was up there, when Brent was up there. So there's a history there. And, you know, he may have gotten to know him a little bit better watching some of the games and that his son was playing in and with the University of North Dakota. But I give him a lot of credit. I mean, you look at Hextall, he's been in the playoffs in the NCAA tournament all 11 years. He's coached in the college ranks. So he's got some good credentials. Hopefully that will transform into him being a good coach in Philadelphia.
Now, do you know him at all? Have you run into him?
Oh, yeah, I've met him. I don't know him a great deal, but always very personal. But I know he's a very intense type of a guy. And I think his biggest thing is communication and getting the players ready for games. I mean, that's number one. And he's going to have a tough role because they've got some pretty high-end players there. You got a new guy coming in, new kid on the block, and that can be very, very difficult. But I'm sure that he'll surround himself with those key players like the Giroux and players like that who I think will really be beneficial to his time there. But you know, it's a scary situation to go into when you're like that. At the same time, it's got to be a fun situation for him. I bet he's on pins and needles right now just thinking.
Now talking to Tom Reed from the Wild broadcast team, and of course Tom Reed's Hockey City Pub. Now, Tom, do you think maybe a hire like this also what comes into play is the NHL game starting to get a little closer to what college hockey is? You know, where speed, they, you know, more speed and finesse and.
Yeah, and I would agree with that. We're not seeing quite the physical element to the game that we used to see back in the, you know, the 60s and the 70s and the 80s and even into the 90s. But I think also the fact that he's had good success. Remember, Jonathan Toews is one of the players he coached up there. Zach Parise was a player there when he was the assistant coach with the team back in, 2002 to 2004, I believe it was. So he's work with some good young kids helping to develop them. And he's got about 20 or 22 guys that have played under him that have made their way to the National Hockey League. So he has some credentials in that line. Now, that being said, he still has to prove himself. And to prove yourself to the people in Philadelphia can be difficult. But, boy, if he starts out well and the team does well, I can guarantee you they'll wrap their arms around him.
I just think it's kind of Hextall hires Hextall.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
It's pretty interesting. Now, how about you? I think when we talked to you last time, you had said Anaheim would be tough. I guess the 4-1 sort of surprised me, though.
Surprised me also. I knew Anaheim was going to be tough because of the fact that they've got, you know, you've got Corey Perry and you've got guys who can make a difference. I mean, when I look at their team and the success they've had over the year. And with Bruce Boudreau, it's finally getting to the point that he hopefully will have maybe some good benefits in the playoffs that they can go a long way. But that Getzlaff is just a horse out there, and Perry. I mean, those two guys really are the heart and soul of that hockey club. They're really the engine that drive it, and all the other players follow suit with them. They played so well together all season long, and now they get a chance to go against Chicago. I was surprised at Chicago. Was not able to get more of an offense going. And I think that the biggest play in that whole thing is when Kane had the puck and he moved to his left and he had the wide open net and he hit the goaltender's stick just enough to knock it over top of the net. And had he scored there, it could have been a totally different game.
Yeah, that was obviously that one was huge because a guy like that usually, well, put it this way, he would have made it against the Wild.
Yeah,
he had that opportunity.
Right.
Also,
that would have got taller.
Yeah, I would have. I will say that Anaheim has one of my favorite names for not the last name because there's a lot of those, but Hampus Lindholm.
Yeah,
I'd never heard until him. I'd never heard of anyone with a first name Hampus.
I don't think you're going to hear another one in your lifetime either, Bob.
he's not Hampus the Third or Junior.
Yeah.
No, this is a good. Now, how do you see them bouncing back the Blackhawks, or do you think it's going to be?
Yeah. No, I think they'll bounce back. It's not going to be a 4-game sweep. I can guarantee you that. That's not going to happen. Chicago's got a very, very good hockey club, but you know you're playing in enemy territory, and it makes it a little more difficult. But there's less pressure, I think, on Anaheim, I think, than there is on Chicago, because Chicago's been so successful over the last few years. But Anaheim, who last won their cup in what, 2007, and I think if I'm not mistaken, I believe Brent Flair was out there at that time, and perhaps Chuck Fletcher may have been with that team at that time too. But they have made a comeback, and you know it's Southern California, but they actually do a pretty good job out there. That's a very, very busy building, but they seem to have a pretty good following. Of course, when you're successful, you're going to have a good following.
You know, the one statistic coming out of that game that to me is they had two goals on the third period yesterday, Anaheim, the Ducks did. They've outscored opponents 18-3 in the third period during the postseason. That speaks a lot about turning it on and turning it up and being in condition.
Well, you know, that's the point I was going to make. You can tell when a club is in good condition by what they do in that third period so often. Minnesota was very good in the third period this past year also. And, they've done a great job, I think, all the way through. But Anaheim right now, they can smell that cup. They want it again. They've had a taste of it. Getzlaff had a taste of it, and he'd like to have it again. And so Chicago's going to have to really, mind their P's and Q's when they get on the ice and make sure that they're much sounder defensively. They were not very happy with their playing last night, I'm sure. They know they can elevate theirs. At the same time, I think Anaheim can also step up.
What do you think? Now, do you like Tampa Bay? Or do you like the Rangers?
I still like the Rangers. I like the Rangers. I just think what they've done all year long, and you know, the goal they got. I mean, you talk about fluky goals sometimes, just being in the right place at the right time. It goes off here. It was Dominic Moore went off his pant leg or his shin or something. I'm not sure what went off of, but it got into the net. But They're a good club. They've been very good all season long, and I don't look for them to falter.
And that Tampa Bay, though, they've got that young line of there that's just lighting it up. I think they've the one that Johnson was it Kucherov and
yeah.
It's a Pallet.
Yeah.
18 of their 35 goals. Wow.
Yeah, Johnson's been unbelievable for a young kid. He has really stepped up. He's playing with a lot of confidence, but that whole team is playing with confidence. So they feel they can come back. That was a very, very close game, obviously. Goal scored in the last couple of minutes of the game, and so it's going to be a tilt. They've got some really good matchups, I think, going into the series. I'm sure that the league has to be happy. The fact that New York, a big market, is into it. You've got Chicago, another big market, is into it. So I think they're pretty happy with the combination they have both in the East and the Western conferences.
Well, and if you're the NHL, you must be pulling for Chicago, New York, right? I mean, you know, anything else is not as exciting.
Yeah, they're looking at the numbers game. That's what it's all about. But so often, you know, they do and can make some things happen. I'm still amazed that a team like Carolina can win a Stanley Cup as they did back in what 2000 and I think it was 2008. I'm not even sure anymore. Maybe it was six. I can't remember now. But I'm amazed a team like that can win it. And yet here in Minnesota, we've had an NHL for how many years and never had a Stanley Cup yet. So hopefully that's going to change here in the very near future.
Do you see any offseason, any major? We talked about it after the season, but anything you're hearing that they're going to do, is it just re-signing guys that they already have?
Well, it's got to re-sign. First of all, I got to figure out where the cap is going to be. Boy, it's going to be tough. Minnesota does not have a lot of room left on their cap, so they're going to have to be very creative in how they sign some of these guys. And of course, Dubnyk is up for a new contract. What will he demand next year? Will it be $3, $4, $5 million? How many years? 2 years? 3 years? 4? I have no idea. But a lot of these teams are going to be in trouble financially that are close to the cap, and Minnesota being one of them. But I think Chuck's pretty creative. I think he'll be able to find a way to make it work. And of course, you're going to lose Harding. His contract is now over. And you look at Backstrom, if they elect to buy him out, which I think will happen, but that still goes against their cap. So that's going to be another area of concern. So that's an extra $3 million plus that they have to worry about.
Now, Tom, it's the offseason for the Wild. So do you spend the offseason tinkering with the menu at Tom Reed's Hockey City Pub? Have you added anything new since the season ended?
As we speak, Bob, I'm down the pub here right now. We're putting together the final bells and whistles on a summer menu.
Oh, great.
So feature light fare food, you know, like your salad, your strawberry salads, or your raspberry chicken salads. you know, your BLTs, you know, something that's a little bit lighter fare for the summertime, which people like to, when they, you know, put on those Speedo bathing suits like you wear all the time.
Like,
you want to look good in that.
I have one on in the studio now, Tom. You should be here. Now, I'm sure you do sample every one of the new ones, the official Tom Reed stamp of approval.
No, I can't sample them all because if I did, I'd be a little bit lot heavier.
You wouldn't be fitting your Speedo.
That's
great. Yeah. Hey, Tom, as always, I love talking to you. Thank you. Tom Reed from the Wild Broadcast Team and Tom Reed's Hockey City Pub. Still the place to go, even though the Wild have done great food there and great fun. Thanks again, Tom.
All right, thanks, Bob.
Take it easy. All right, take a quick break. Come back with the Cackler, our guy, Tom Schreier, from 105theticket.com and host of the Tom Schreier Show. And friends, on Sunday morning, he hates when I do that to him. Now it's the wake-up call with him and Sam Ekstrom and a cast of characters. But we'll be right back with Tom Schreier.
No way! I'm here, though.
Was that real, or was that him, or was that the on tape? I can never tell.
That's your home! That's your home! Are you too good for your home?
Are you? I am too good for my home. I came to the radio station.
That's our guy, Tom Schreier, from 105theticket.com. He writes there, and he co-hosts the wake-up call on Sunday mornings.
Yeah,
huh?
Yep.
You know, or some people call it the Tom Schreier Show.
I wasn't
friends.
Even there this Sunday.
Well, that's why I'm saying you co-hosted, because you weren't there to lead the charge. And you were, you mentioned you were
in South Bend.
Graduated.
Yeah, Taylor Swift. And I guess Torrey Hunter was there to see his son play baseball. I didn't see either of them. But
Taylor Swift was there?
Yeah, her son Austin. Or not her son. Her brother Austin. Went there. And I guess got a year behind, transferred schools for a little bit, came back. My brother didn't know him very well. But yeah, it was a crazy weekend. My brother graduated, going out of med school. Unfortunately, a kid died right before graduation, so it kind of put a damper on the weekend.
He just put a damper on the show? What do you mean died?
He fell off the Joyce Center, which is their basketball arena. He went out of the top right before graduation. Yeah, one of those.
He was graduating?
Yeah. And so they handled it pretty well. But, there was already two deaths in that class, so they addressed those and then talked about this one specifically. But,
what was he thinking?
I don't know.
Was alcohol involved?
I mean, it happened at 3:45. We don't know. There's going to be a toxicology report, but I think I said this on the show before. I actually had a friend who died at 26, so it was after graduation, but fell off a roof after celebrating something. Again, we don't really know how much was involved. I wasn't there when he died, but it's very dangerous. This is like The Atlantic wrote a huge article on this, on how many kids die falling in college, and because, you know, some of it's these old buildings, some of it's poor judgment.
Sadly, I would guess that it happens at the start of a school year and at the end of a school year. That's when you get to see many of these, not just, you know, that's the most horrific outcome, but even just people getting hurt or injured.
Yeah.
Because they're all excited that school's starting, and it's usually the young freshman.
Yeah, exactly.
And unfortunately here, it's somebody who's graduating.
Yeah, it was really tough, but fortunately, you know, obviously, my brother and his friends, you know, they said he was a nice guy. I didn't know him very well, but other than that, everything else went well, and he's,
I'm glad.
Yeah. But it was fun. I mean, it was fun otherwise.
And, other than that, Mrs. Lincoln, how was the play?
Yeah, yes.
Oh, my goodness. Now, you had mentioned that, and we touched on this briefly, your dad and grandparent or grandfather went to Notre Dame?
My grandfather didn't. He went to USC, but my dad and my two uncles did. So, there was a lot of drama senior year. Obviously, I wanted to go there. I ended up going to Santa Clara. But
I remember, because they offered a better deal for you, right?
Yeah. I mean, well, they admitted me. That was the big thing.
Well, you wanted to go to Notre Dame and be like a latter-day Rudy.
Yeah, exactly. I probably should have gone to Holy Cross, I think is where he went, right next door, and transferred in. But yeah, Rachel Blount, who's in the media here, actually graduated the same year as my dad. So I remember having this conversation with a whole bunch of people from the media, and they're like, oh, why didn't you go there? And I was like, I didn't get in, and there was this awkward silence. I'm like, no, it's okay, guys. You know, obviously going to California,
you went
super
to
cool.
That's a party school you went to, right?
Yeah,
Santa
it's
Clara?
Not. It's not quite Santa Barbara. We were having this conversation in the room over there. It's not as big as some other schools out there, but yeah, definitely some big partying, and kids are pretty wound up there. Really smart too. I mean, obviously really good school, but yeah, it was tons of fun. It's California.
You made the better choice.
I think so. I mean, I think if you had told me, you could go, you know, out to California at age 18 and be on your own, I'd been like, sweet.
How many
you know?
Co-eds are at Notre Dame?
I think it's about 50-50. I think. At least it's equal. Yeah, I think when my dad was there, it was about like 70 or 65% guys. But obviously, they have the girls' school next door. But I think there's the same amount of dorms, guys and girls.
Now, you obviously still continued to follow the Minnesota Twins while you were away.
Yeah. So Brandon was at the games. We corresponded a little bit, and I watched the box scores.
He's from, now Brandon, of course, is from the
ticket.
No, the Tom Schreier and Friends. He's one of the end friends.
Oh, no. He was on 8:30 if you want to go back and listen to it. He's a stats guy. He knows the math a little bit better than I do. But
hey, I got my stats guy right here, Helmsy. Give him a number.
12.
Any number. See? What did I tell
job.
You? He's
good
got
job.
Numbers coming out. Give him another one. Show him how good you are.
70 billion.
How about that? he's a number machine.
Q.
That's not a number.
That was close.
Anyway, but 2 out of 3, there are 4 games above 500.
Yeah.
Heading to Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
That's not, who would have thought it?
Yeah, I guess.
May 18th, 4 games above 500, 3 games out.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Terry Ryan had that line when they signed Santana, I believe, where he goes, I want to see a playoff. So it was right before they signed Santana, actually. And, he said, we have to add to pitching and stuff like this. My point I'm going to write about this is people are starting to ask, can you trust the Twins? Do I start going to games? Do I start thinking about getting season tickets again? And in my mind, look at the player development, and are they developing young players? So you have some decisions that are interesting. You brought up Rosario. Hopefully Rosario will go back down, I believe, but hopefully, he had a cup of tea. He obviously had the sweet home run off the first pitch. Hopefully he benefits from the time that he spent in the majors. I think Trevor May did. I think that was smart last year where they brought him up in a situation where he couldn't sabotage the season literally because it was over anyways. He got the nerves out of the way, and I think he's pitching pretty well. Aaron Hicks, this is kind of do or die. I think if he goes back down to the minors, he's going to get shipped out, and they get cents on the dollar for a prospect they were very high on at one point. What do they do with Oswaldo Arcia? Kenneth Vargas just got sent down. People said, well, why? He's hitting so well. Well, he's hitting singles, and you expect a guy who's that size.
Hit 3 home runs, right?
Yeah, I think so.
And 10 ribbies.
Primarily a DH. He will play first base, obviously, but that's not his forte. He's got to hit home runs, and he's got to hit for power. And I think, it's been fun seeing him on the bases. He runs quicker than a guy his size, I would expect. And I think there's positives with him, but he's going back down. Is Alex Meyer gonna surface here at some point? Does Alex Meyer become part of the rotation? What about Berrios and some of these other prospects? And obviously the Glimmer Twins, your Sanos, your Buxtons. When do they bring them up? How do they do once in the majors? Can they kind of help? Keep in mind they have to have a team structure around them. Are they surrounded by old low ceiling veterans, or are they surrounded by high upside guys their age? And do they succeed once they're in the majors? Hope resides with the youth here, and it does not reside with some of these perhaps familiar names, just because they are getting a little bit older. So, that's where if I'm deciding, do I want to get season tickets? Do I want to show up and spend money on these Twins games for all the parking and the beer and everything else, the costs that go into this food? I say, do you believe in the youth? And that's the key for the Minnesota Twins. They can't get by every year with kind of these older, low upside players. They need to show us that the youth really can take this team to the next level to get in the playoffs.
Well, but also with the Twins, in 11 games, they get back Irvin Santana.
Yeah.
So, Alex Meyer, there's not an urgency that they have to bring him up.
No, and even Tommy Malone, I think, had 12 strikeouts, didn't he, in a recent AAA game? I mean, Tommy Malone, I think, is a major league player who's kind of a fringe. I'd see him as, maybe a little bit better than Scott Diamond when Scott Diamond was good. Kind of a lefty, doesn't throw very hard. You have a guy like that they sent down, and they may end up bringing him back up actually as a lefty in the bullpen. But it's nice to know that, they don't have to bring up your PJ Walters or your Cole DeVries or those guys. I felt like those were kind of a step below, kind of who you take a chance on. Hopefully, I'd like to see Alex Meyer, if anything, because he traded to Denard Span to get him. And Denard Span still would have a role on this team. I don't know if they really have a great leadoff guy. Dozier gets the job done, but I don't think of him as a traditional guy. And it'd be nice to have kind of that, depth in the outfield, especially because RC is shaky there and Torrey Hunter is so old. And you don't know what Hicks can do with the bat. And, Schaefer and Robinson are kind of replacement level players at this point. So it would have been nice to have that depth. And that's really where my emphasis is with Meyer. You should be getting a great, solid, quality player with Alex Meyer. And we haven't seen him in the major leagues yet.
No, but because they're going to take their time with him. They don't want to rush him up here.
Yeah, and they're
nor
like,
should they.
Well, and I think they're...
Because I think when they bring him up, they don't want to send him down again.
Yeah, and that's the hope. Hopefully he kind of goes along. Kyle Gibson was very inconsistent, but at the very least, you kind of got a major league level pitcher, and I really do believe he's going to be good. I don't think he's your ace. I don't think he's your number two guy, but a solid middle of the, you know, rotation guy who can get the job done. I think that's Gibson. You hope that Meyer is a step above that, but their philosophy seems to be bring up the young position players, but they keep those pitchers in the minor leagues for a while. So this is kind of going right along with how they've always done it.
Well, they've made it interesting, and I don't think selling tickets or getting people out is going to be a problem, particularly when, you know, when the weather's nice, people are going to go regardless. But yeah, it certainly gives them something, a more reason to go if they're doing well and winning. Again, four games above 500. No one saw that coming.
It's mind-blowing, and the positive is that this is going to be kind of a dogfight in this division. I think the Tigers are the best team, but they're not what they once were. Scherzer's gone. We don't know what you got in Verlander. You know, they obviously Prince is out and stuff like that. It's a changing team. And outside of that, I mean, you kind of have the Indians and the Royals competing maybe with the Tigers, but maybe to get in the playoffs. And I think those are two really good teams that have flaws on their own. And obviously, Cleveland didn't get out to the start people expected. You know, I had them as World Series champs, which would be mind-blowing. But, you know, like an Indians-Cubs World Series would be out
like,
there.
They're playing like the Twins have the last 4 years right now.
Yeah, so I don't know.
Games below 500.
Exactly, and I feel like the White Sox are going to get better. I think that, you know, hopefully they shape up. They were making mistakes when they came to Target Field, but I think it's going to be a dogfight. All these teams have flaws in them. The Tigers aren't what they once were. I think they're still the team to beat to get it, you know, to win the division. But, you know, if the Twins can kind of tread water, well, how do they sustain a good start? It's by bringing up these young guys and kind of infusing energy. Keep in mind that ballpark's going to be kind of filling up at, you know, once you have Sano coming up and Buxton. And hopefully people get excited about Aaron Hicks again and Eddie Rosario and Alex Meyer whenever he comes up, Trevor May. I think that's where the hope resides. And that's where, if you're going to make a big purchase, let's say season tickets, which is ultimately what this team wants, they need to know, hey, for the next few years, we're going to continue to see very fun, exciting, young, you know, baseball players in Minnesota.
Tom Schreier, we're going to come right back and do a little threesome. You want to stick around for that?
I would love to.
We'd love to keep Tom Schreier here. He's our guy from 105theticket.com, also co-hosts the wake-up call on Sunday mornings with Sam Ekstrom and whoever else you're bringing with you, too.
Yeah, a lot of cold Omaha guys we have in there.
That's good, though.
People from the outside. Maybe Tyler Mason, who was making fun of me last time I was on the show.
It's the cold Omaha mafia you got going there.
It is quite a mafia.
All right, we'll be right back with the threesome. Sorry I stepped on your cackle. We'll be right back.